nobody in the studio today. Yeah, there's nobody sitting in on the show. I'm all by myself in here at the studio in Windber, Pennsylvania. Yeah, the last 3 days, Thursday, Friday, and yesterday's show, I had Eric Wall in here. He's the guy staying with us from, where's Eric from? Yeah, Eugene, Oregon, and we had Dean and Amy Wilkinson from Evansville, Indiana, sitting in here. So it's all lonely in here today. So if you want to get in on the show, you want to be part of the action. Yeah, you didn't even notice them, did you? Yeah, that's because I swear them to silence. I say, don't make a peep. This is my show. I don't really, but they like to watch, and it's fun. So if you want to be in on a show, come on over. You got a lot of things to do here, a lot of blessings. Well, a lot of things to do. This area is known for death. You were known for the Johnstown flood. Flight 93 crashed in this county, not far from here. And what else? Yeah, we had a bunch of mine accidents, and we have extensive graveyards. Eric Wall says he's depressed just from the area. He's not depressed here because this is a safety zone in this home. But when you get outside of the safety zone, you're surrounded by death and doom and gloom. That's the way it is in eastern, or should I say western Pennsylvania. But that's okay, because it's the contrast, you see. God brings life out of death. Now, we've been talking about this passage, Little Women Heaped with Sins, ever learning. Those who are ever learning, never able to come to a realization of the truth. The way this reads in the Concordant Version in verse 7 of 2 Timothy 3, always learning, and yet not at any time able to come into a realization of the truth. I am on page 102 of Clyde Pilkington's book. Now, we're getting through this book, folks, right? It's only been, what, 2 months? Going on 3? The Church in Ruins, Brief Thoughts on 2 Timothy, Paul's Last Letter to the Church. I'm on page 102, and let's see, how many pages do we have here? Yeah, 128, so you can see we're homing in on it. And when I'm done with this series, we are going to do the Book of Revelation. I'm going to be on that till the snatching away. So we're talking about ever learning. And it's amazing how people can sit there, do their 15 minutes of Bible study a day, or for that matter, years and years of intense Bible training, and yet never come to a realization of the truth. That is a miracle. It's a miracle. It takes God to do that. It takes God to finally balance His Word to the degree that you can be reading it, looking at the words, and not be getting it. Hearing, you are not hearing. This is what Jesus said concerning the Jews, right? I think it's in Matthew 13. Hearing, you are not hearing. Seeing, you are not seeing. That's a miracle. And God is responsible for this. And I believe we can safely call this 1 Timothy 4:1, doctrines of demons. They're so manipulative, the demons, so clever, so ingenious, that you can be reading the words and not be understanding them. It's a flipping miracle. As Clyde says, the miracle is that God blinds the apprehensions of the unbelieving. And the truth is so apparent that God has to actively blind them so that they don't get it. It's a miracle when you don't get the truth. Ever learning, that means you're in the Word. You're not learning about geology or oceanography or biology or whatever. You're learning, you're reading the Bible, but you're missing everything. You're missing every key point. Yes, a lot of it has to do with mistranslations, but a lot of it also has to do with the fact that God has finally tuned this thing. Let me just give you a couple examples. This isn't on my topic, but now it is. For instance, the judgment of the nations in Matthew 25. People use that huge verse 46 of Matthew 25, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment. And in that section, he's separating the sheep from the goats. And people assume that the sheep and the goats are individuals. Like, here's Uncle Harry and Aunt Ethel. And Uncle Harry is going to the outer darkness, where he is going to cry and damage his dentures. And on the other side, you have Aunt Harriet, or whatever I said her name was. And she's going into life. That's the mistake. But the key is at the door, Matthew 25. Therefore, at the beginning of the chapter, he shall gather all the nations before him. See, the information is there, but by the time people get to verse 46, they forget that we're talking about nations, not individuals. So this isn't Uncle Harry and Aunt Ethel. It is Ethiopia. It is Germany. It's the United States. It's Antarctica. Oh, that's not a country. That's a continent. Oh, well, close enough. So you can be looking at the very words and not understanding. Oh, another one. John 3:14. And according as Moses exalts the serpent in the wilderness, thus must the Son of Mankind be exalted, that everyone believing on him should not be perishing, but maybe having aeonian life. And you think that when you see that word perishing, you think that they're going to be perishing forever, but they're not. It's the incomplete verb form. They should not be perishing. In other words, the people who don't believe on him will be perishing up until the time they're raised from the dead. So it's an incomplete verb form, not a complete verb form. There it is. You're looking at the word. You're forever learning. You're reading it. And if you're reading it out of a bad version, you're never going to come to a knowledge or a realization of the truth. The religious system is impressive. As I told you before about the Catholic Church, they have ceremony down pat. The scents, the sounds, everything. They have their form. That is their appearance of godliness. But even though they're ever learning, they are not able to come to a knowledge or a realization of the truth. Now, this all happens within the man-made system. Look at all these things that go on in the Orthodox system. I'm going to read a list here from Clyde's book. It's hard to believe that people are in all these things, and yet they can come out of it so stupid. And again, don't be offended by stupid. It's a scriptural word. I'm going to get to it. Romans 1:22. All right, listen to these things. We have, drum roll please. We have Sunday school, Sunday morning sermons, Wednesday night Bible studies, Awanis, whatever that is, new member classes, revivals, seminars, retreats, Bible colleges, daily reading through the Bible in a year. We all know those programs. Bible seminaries, Sunday night sermons, children's churches, daily devotions, summer Bible camps. Oh my gosh, my dad went to those things when he was a kid back in the 30s and early 40s, turned him away from God for the rest of his life until the very end. Why? Because they told him all he had to do was be like Jesus. Just be like Jesus, and we'll give you a cookie. And he realized, he was one of the smart kids there, that he couldn't be like Jesus, so he gave up. Of course, there go the children's, there go the summer Bible camps, Bible conferences, training programs, Christian schools, Bible institutes, Vacation Bible School, VBS. Oh my gosh. Who wants, what kid wants to finally get out of school and then go to a Bible vacation school? They call it vacation, but that's a misnomer if there ever was one. I was working at the post office back in the day, and the cruddiest part of town, they had a street called Pleasant Street, and it was full of dilapidated houses, and all the people there, you know, were on welfare, and it's like, what a misnomer. Well, this is a misnomer too, vacation Bible school. No. It's not a vacation at all for the kids that go there. They're told they have to be like Jesus. What is the end result for somebody in the system who's going through all these programs? And in fact, they've gone through a lifetime of this ever learning that Paul talks about in 2 Timothy 3. This is a real phenomenon, ever learning, ever learning. Here's the question that we ask. What is the result of this ever learning? This, 3 points. These people still do not even know who they are in God. They have no idea who they are, that they're a son or a daughter of Christ, son of God, daughter of God, a member of the body of Christ, no clue. They still don't know who their apostle is. They're reading Moses. They're reading Jonah. They're reading Bible stories. Going to get to that in a second. They still don't even know who, what their message is. They don't know whether they're supposed to do law or not do law or be baptized. Or recognize the Sabbath or holy days. And so they're ever learning about these things, but they're never learning the things themselves. The critical thing is ever hidden from their eyes. This is why you have to be chosen. Unless you're chosen, you're not going to get it. And these people, they cannot carry on a meaningful conversation about things as simple as justification. You say, oh, Martin, justification, that's a complex theological point. No, it's not. It's a simple thing. But no one in these systems can carry on a meaningful conversation about as simple a topic as justification. The root word there is just. It means right. You are right with God. You're complete. You're right. He's good with you. He looks at you and says, you're right. Everything you do is right. Nobody can intelligently articulate this or tell us how it came about through the death of the old humanity, through the cross of Christ. It's really a mind-blowing phenomenon. And as a rule, most people only know little more than the Sunday school Bible stories. Things like Jonah and the whale. And there was a man named Jonah, and he was very disobedient. He was a bad Christian. Even though Christ had not been born yet, he was still a bad Christian. And so the whale swallowed him, and he swam around in the belly of the whale for 3 days until he repented, and he was baptized in the whale, and he said the sinner's prayer, and the whale spit him out on the shore, and then Jonah began going to church once a week and lived happily ever after. And that's the Bible stories. And it's all wrong. Why is it wrong? It's wrong by design. As Paul says, oh man, do I have time to go to this? No, I don't. Oh, shoot. 1 Corinthians 11:19. There must be sex among you. No, sects, not sex. Yes, there must be that too. But this is S-E-C-T-S. There must be sex. There must be these divisions. I'm going to talk to you more about this tomorrow. And there must be these things so that those who are approved may be becoming apparent. Again, this is the genius of God. You've read my book, Flawed by Design. Well, the churches are flawed by design. And the scriptures have keys, important keys in the context. Or you, at the worst, you have to look up a word in a concordance. But you're able to do it. The keys are there. You're able to find the information. But if you don't want to do it, if you're lazy, if you just want to listen to what your pastor says or get your truth from the drive-thru window, you are not going to see these things. You are going to be forever learning, but never coming to a realization of the truth. I shouldn't say never. It's an aeonian problem, because everyone eventually will be shown the truth eventually. But thank God you, with me, and a few others are seeing it now. Thank God for that.